Welcome to the Topeka First Assembly podcast. We hope this message serves as an encouragement to you. If you would like to support us financially, you can do so online at www.topekafirst.com/giving. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to start a series, He Is, right? He Is. And this morning we're going to look a little bit at He Is Humble, speaking of Christ. And so we're entering the most powerful and significant season of the year. So very important time. In two more weeks, you know, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Christ. All of the holidays and holy days, of all of them that exist, none of them rival this day. None of them rival Resurrection Sunday. It kind of gives us a picture of God's victory over death. And that is important for us as followers of Jesus, and we recognize what He's done for us. It should remind us that God will always have the final say. And yet to get to the resurrection, you have to recognize the humility of Jesus. You also have to recognize the authority of Jesus as He came in and the triumphal entry, and then you also ultimately have to recognize His sacrifice for you and I, and what He has done for us on the cross. Those are some wonderful things that He's done for us. And today we're going to recognize He is humble. If you want to turn with me, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, and we'll go through some other passages as well. But Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8, and it says this. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. And rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And, you know, we read this passage, you know, Paul is writing here. He's writing to the church in Philippi, right? And he's writing to them, and he's challenging them to keep the same kind of mentality that Jesus held on to, right? He's trying to keep that same type of mentality. He wanted them to treat others well, to care for them, and to show them love. And now we see that Paul writes here, it's a while after Jesus was crucified and resurrected and ascended. It's a little bit after that. So it was after the fact that he pointed believers back to how Jesus completely humbled Himself to live. He humbled Himself not just to live, but to live like us in a world full of all brokenness and all kinds of stuff. And so he pointed them to live like Him, and He gave up the glories of heaven to die for us. That's what Jesus did for us. And look at what it says in verse 6 there. It says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. You kind of got to get a context there. You got to kind of get an idea what, you know, Jesus, He's the Son of Man, the Son of God. We understand that as Scripture teaches us. It gives us an idea. And so he didn't come out here to use His abilities for His own advantages. And Jesus had every right. He had every right to walk into town and demanded anything He wanted. It was all His anyway, and still is all His. He had every right to be able to do that. But that's not the way Jesus handled things. It's just not how He rolled. And as Paul writes, He was in the very nature God, but there was something much different about Jesus. There is something different about some of His disciples, right? You think of James and John, for example, and these guys, they were his disciples, they were His students, and they were fishermen. They're kind of like you and I, and so maybe you don't throw your line in the water. I don't know. I don't do it much anymore. Did it when I was younger, but But these guys, they did it as a trade, and there was a time when things weren't going well, and James and John decided, hey, let's take matters into our own hands because it's not going the way we expected. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been in a situation where things didn't go the way you planned it? You know, it's like, I expected it to happen this way and it didn't work. And so these guys kind of get into a situation. They had already witnessed the miraculous power of Jesus. They saw him turn the water into wine. They saw him stop the storm. They saw him do different things in his ministry. And so here in Luke chapter 9, verse 52, it tells us this. And he, Jesus, sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. They didn't like that. And so in verse 54, it says, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? Verse 55 in NIV here, it says, but Jesus turned and rebuked them, and then he and his disciples went to another village. They just went to another place is what they did. It may have been James and John. Maybe they were thinking of the prophet Elijah when he called down fire from heaven and asked the Lord to send the fire to light the sacrifice that he set up when there was like this, if you want to call it, there's a competition between God's people and the prophets of the false god Baal. But or maybe he was thinking of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know for sure, but we do know that some Bible manuscripts say just as Elijah did in there. So but what I'm sure of is this, is that Jesus set them straight at that point. He set them straight, right? And he's trying to help them out, and Luke records that Jesus rebuked them. And that's what it says there in verse 55. And it wasn't that Jesus lacked ability. That wasn't it at all, right? He knew what he could do. He knew what he was capable of doing. And he had the ability, but he turned the water into wine. He did all these other things. And it comes back to what Paul said over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. See, Jesus wasn't going to use his ability to simply get back at those Samaritans for not welcoming him. Simply because he was going to Jerusalem, which they didn't like, you know. It made them upset. They didn't like that, and so they didn't like him because of that. And so it wasn't going well for them. And here, James and John, they must have been a little bit like us. You got to put yourself in their shoes. You got to be really honest with ourselves. And I imagine they would say, I'll show you, man. I can show you. And so that's probably kind of the way they must have been thinking about things. I don't know, but they had something in their mind, and they probably said in their mind, well, we can wipe you out in one swipe, buddy. They probably had these kind of things. And some of you are like, that wouldn't have been me. I wouldn't have done it. Right. Right. But they had some problems going on there. I don't know if you have thought about this, but James and John weren't the extremists like their fellow disciple. Simon the Zealot, remember Simon the Zealot? The Zealots, the guys that carried a knife around on their thigh to be able to ready to take out any Roman or any enemy of Israel at any moment in time. And he was one of the disciples. And here James and John, Joe Blow fishermen out there, they're the ones that are like, hey, let's take these guys out. They were just average people like you and I. It really shows us how easy it is for the average person to go off the rails. It should be a reminder to us on that. And that means that we have to be able to kind of hold back a little bit and recognize that for ourselves so that we don't walk down that kind of pathway. And Jesus got them back on track. And people, here's the thing, is people love to demonize others who don't treat them well or who won't welcome them. They like to do that because it makes them feel better about giving them the sucker punch, right? And so not the greatest thing. And this is the problem even now. It's what Jesus corrected back then with his own disciples. In fact, some Bible manuscripts over in Luke chapter 9, verse 55, note Jesus is saying, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know what spirit you're of. You kind of don't know what you're dealing with here. You don't quite understand, and it's a challenge to them. And sometimes our history or our past drives us. And we have to be aware of that. We need to be aware that our history, our past does drive us at times. And we have to be aware of it so that we don't run down that same kind of pathway, because we can easily run down that pathway if we don't allow the Lord to come in and start working and bringing healing in our lives in those areas, right? We have to allow Him to do that. And so sometimes it can drive us. And it happened for the disciples, but Jesus redirected them. And in His actions, Jesus was saying how we treat others really matters. How we treat others really matters. And it's important because we understand that, like we say here, love God, love people, inspire hope. We have to be able to treat others well. And Jesus, He was humble. He didn't use His power for His own advantage. You know, there's a truly humble person is hard to find. Yet, God delights to honor such selfish, selfless people. Now, Booker T. Washington is well known. He's a renowned educator. He was an outstanding example of this truth. And shortly after he took over the presidency of Tuskegee University or Institute in Alabama, he was walking in this exclusive section of town. He walks through this place, and he was stopped by a wealthy woman. And not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked him if he would like to earn a few dollars chopping wood. She made a poor assumption who he was, and just really because of the color of his skin. And because he had no pressing business at the moment, Professor Washington smiled, he rolled up his sleeves, and he proceeded to do the humble chore that she had requested of him. And when he was finished, he carried the logs to the house and stacked them by the fireplace. A little girl recognized him and later revealed his identity to this lady. She didn't realize who he was. And the next morning, she was embarrassed. She went to go see him in his office at the Institute and apologized. And he replied this way. He said, "It's perfectly all right, ma'am. Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." I tell you what, she shook his hand and warmly assured him that his work had touched her heart. And so not long after that, with a bunch of her friends, raised a lot of funds for the Tuskegee Institute. But Washington knew how to respond appropriately. And we can learn from his actions here. Do you know what spirit you're of? Do you know what spirit you're of? And it's important for us to be able to ask ourselves that. And some people are like James and John before Jesus' crucifixion. They were hot-headed and ready to demand their way. But if you follow them later on, you find John becoming known as the apostle of love, right? You don't expect that out of this guy. And so maybe later on, after we read his gospel and some of the other writings that he has out there, maybe we think, oh yeah, this guy was great. Yeah, but it didn't start that way. And see, that's the thing, is for us as followers of Jesus, we all have a starting place, right? We all have a starting place. As imperfect as we are, we need the Lord working in our lives, and hopefully we don't end up the same way that we started out. Hopefully we allow the Lord to continue to work in our lives and transform us. So we see that Jesus' humility was shown not only by giving His life, which was the ultimate act of humility for Him, But he revealed his humility not only not long before the cross. And some who you come maybe from a more traditional background in church and stuff, maybe you're saying, I'm going to get this out of order, and that's okay. It's good to keep you thinking now and then, right? As we talk about Resurrection Sunday, about Easter, as many call it, and that's okay. But Jesus didn't always take the expected path. He didn't always take that expected path, and we need to be pulled out of the norm so that we can learn to follow Jesus on his terms, so we can learn to follow him in his way. We find over here in John chapter 13, verse 1 to 5, we find this. It says, it was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It says there in verse 2, he says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He takes off his outer clothing, his outer garments, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So he's doing this, right? He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. I mean, that's what he's to be doing. And they're not expecting him to do something like this. And humility, that's what we see in Jesus here. We see something special out of the Son of God. He knows the cross is coming. He knows what's coming down the pike. He realizes that. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus wanted to make sure his disciples had this reality of service and humility branded in their hearts. He wanted to make sure that it stuck with them, that it wasn't something that was just fleeting. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, we can read the Word of God and we can allow it just to go past us, right? We get it for a day and we forget it. That's why we need to continue to open the Word of God for ourselves. And he wanted to make sure that we understand as well. But unfortunately, we miss it at times, right? We miss it. And so we have to get back to it. And we put our own personal interests in front of others. And we let ourselves be tripped up by the wants and desires of a new iPhone or a shiny car or a chic dog who doesn't bark and shed and all those kind of little things. But Jesus, he takes some of his outer clothing off like a servant, and he wraps a towel around his waist, and he's ready to serve. He grabs a pan of water to be able to wash their feet. The very people who will deny him, and some of them will deny that they ever knew him when he went to trial, right? Some walked away. One of them would ultimately turn him in, Judas, right? But don't you forget, not everyone acted like Judas, right? Not everyone acted. You had the typical, the average person. But what John records was that Simon Peter was kind of the vocal one. Jesus was about to serve, and he kind of balks at the idea, right? And yet he denied Jesus three times over. You know, Peter kind of whines. He whines about Jesus washing his feet. And then there in John chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. He's referring to Judas, right? In verse 11, he says, For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not every one of you was clean. So he knew it, right? He's washing their feet, and he knows this thing. And now Jesus, he was kind of maybe cryptic in some sense, or maybe mysterious in his message about the betrayer at first, but later he would be a little bit more plain. And I don't know how Jesus could do what he did. Put yourself in that position. I don't know how he could have done what he did, and yet he goes, gets on his hands and his knees to wash the feet of the person who is going to turn him in to be crucified. That's what he does. He's going to wash Judas' feet as well. And you know, it's not so bad to think of Jesus as serving his disciples, maybe like James and John. By this time, maybe they got their things together, right? I mean, they're not going to try to call fire down out of heaven. Or maybe Peter or some of the others, you know, or Andrew. It'd have been fine for him to wash their feet and stuff. But his betrayer. I couldn't imagine it, but this is humility to the max. That's humility to the max, and that's the example that Jesus sets before us. Remember, in the gospel, he says something like this, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for them, right? Those are some of the things he said. And I guess to get a perspective of what Jesus is saying as he's washing these guys' feet and even his betrayer, it reminds us about the love of God, because Paul says it in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life for us. Even while we were still messed up like that. You know, sometimes we can get into trouble because of our lack of humility. In the summer of 1986, there were two ships that collided in the Black Sea over near Russia. And hundreds of passengers died because they were hurled into the icy water from the collision of the ships. Very sad thing, but the news of the disaster was really darkened when the investigation revealed what the cause of the accident was. It wasn't a technology problem. It wasn't an issue with radar or anything like that. It wasn't any other kind of malfunction, or it wasn't the thick fog or those kind of things. The cause was human stubbornness, not just human error, but human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby. They were aware. Both could have steered clear, but according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Each was too proud to yield first. And by the time they came to their senses, it was too late. So we must learn to humble ourselves as God's people. When we do, just maybe someone else will be saved, right? When we do that, God can work in their lives too. And Jesus humbled himself so that we could be saved from our own sin. Did we deserve it? No, nobody in here did. None of us did. Doesn't matter how great you were. I've known some great people, some great Christians. I mean, solid people. And you think, oh, I don't know, maybe they deserve it. Nope. Didn't deserve it. No human being deserved it, but God did it for us because, as the Apostle Paul says, all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Just a fact. It's just the truth. It's a reality, and we have to learn to humble ourselves before the Lord. So Jesus humbled himself and so that we could be saved. And look at John chapter 13, verse 12 here with me. And 12 to 17 says this, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. So do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them this, and you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So, you know, Jesus gave his disciples this wonderful object lesson. It's an object lesson for life, and it's probably something that stuck in their minds, right? I'm sure it had to stick there in their minds. And in verse 12, it shows us that once he had finished up, he got all his outer clothes back on. He moved back to his regular place as their teacher, right? He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. And he humbled himself, and then he got back to this place, and he's ready to teach them. And he asked them this question, you know, do you understand what I've done for you guys? Do you get it? Probably most of the time they'd say no, and I think sometimes it's the same way with us, right? No, God, I don't get what you're saying here. Would you explain this to me? And so we know that we know it happened for his disciples. And he did something special for them, and too often they were just confused by their own ideas, by their own wants, and by their own expectations. Isn't that what happens to us? Doesn't matter who we are. We all have our own ideas, our expectations. We have these things in our lives, and too often we're confused by our own stuff. And no wonder Jesus corrected James and John, who wanted to call down fire from heaven to wipe out their perceived enemies, right? These guys just weren't welcoming them into Samaria. They weren't welcoming, but they were kind of their perceived enemies in their mind. Their expectations had got in their way. When will you be willing to set your expectations and ideas to the side so God can work in and through you in a more powerful way? I think it's something that each of us should ask ourselves so that we can allow the Lord to work through our lives, each of us. As imperfect as we are, we need him to work through our lives and in our lives. I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life when I've had a set of expectations, right? I've done that. That's just normal. That's what we humans do. We've had those expectations, and I've had to set those things aside so God could do what he wanted, right? Even in recent months, that's happened. That's a reality. And friends, do you remember what I read from Romans chapter 5, verse 8? Paul said, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us when we were polished. He didn't die for us when we were pure and what we think is perfect, but no human being is perfect at this point. But he died for us when we were sinners. Well, he said there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The question is, for who? For all of us. For you. For me. He died for all of us, each and every one of us. What does this require of us? Honestly, it requires of us to humble ourselves before the one who humbled himself before the Father. And even humbled himself before humanity. There may be some expectations and ideas which you have, and you need to set those things aside. You just need to be able to set them aside and say, God, here I am. God, here I am as I am. I need your help. I don't want to stay the same way, but God, here I am. And I'm going to set those things aside into your hands, and I'm going to put my faith and my trust in you. And it's important for us as followers of Jesus that we do that on a regular basis so that we can allow God to work in our lives. Because he's wanting to continue to transform us. Us imperfect people, he needs to do a work in us and to finish the work that he has started in us. He wants to do that. Have you ever had something in your hand which you had to let go of for something good to happen? You can think of a lot of different things. I remember, I'm one of those guys, I'm scared of heights. Don't like heights. Never have, never will. Will I climb up? Sure. I've been on top of the sanctuary here. When I climbed up there, it's like, Lord, I don't ever want to do that again. And it doesn't look bad inside, but it's taller than the ceiling is. And so you get into those places. But I remember one time when I was serving in West Africa, and I had some missionary friends that they were working with some of the youth and the missionary kids. And so they said, hey, we're going to go do some climbing. Would you like to come with us? So I said, sure. I'd done a little bit of climbing and some of the mountains just for not big stuff, but these guys were actually going to do something called rappelling, and some of you probably know what that is, where you get them the ropes, and they tie off a rope at the top, and so they decide, hey, we're going to do it at a small place, it's only a 90-foot rock, and so you can come with us, and I'm like, you're crazy? I'm going to do it, but you're crazy, and I don't think it's smart. I hope I don't end up dead. And so they show me how to break and with the ropes and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm watching some other people as they go, and, it's wow. But if I wouldn't have set aside, or if I wouldn't have faced that fear head on, I wouldn't have had the joy to be able to come down that cliff face and really just enjoy what took place. It was a little scary going down at first. It's a little scary all the way down. But anyway, it was fun. It was good. I didn't break anything like the next group of kids did. But to experience something good, I had to let go of that fear of heights. I had to set it aside, and I had to be able to grab a hold of that rope and follow those guys' instructions and to come down the side of that rock. Sometimes our expectations are noble, but they don't always include the whole story. And I think that's part of the problem with us at times when fear comes or when anxiety or when worry comes is we think we know all the story. But the fact is we don't know it all. And so there's a step of faith that we have to walk out in, and we have to trust our Lord to know that He's got our back. And He's willing to work in our lives. We have to be able to trust in Him. That's why we have to be willing to let go of some of those things of our past and move on with Christ. We have to move on, because otherwise what's going to happen is we're going to still keep living out of our history. If it's our history from yesterday, our past from yesterday, if it's our history from 10 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago, if it's from X, Y, or Z, we have to be able to put our faith and our trust in Jesus and continue to move forward in Him. And that's what some of the disciples did. They moved on with Jesus. Even Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot, he moved on with Him as well. Only one of them didn't make it, and that was Judas. But we don't have to be like him. We don't have to go that path, right? We don't have to walk in that fashion. We can serve the Lord and walk with Him. So as we wrap this up this morning, I just want to challenge you to set your expectations aside and let God's Word speak into your life. Let His Word speak into your life so you can follow Christ according to His plan and not according to your own plans. Because we all set our own plans up, right? We have all kinds of expectations, and we're thinking that everything should go according to our plans. But Jesus, He humbled Himself at Gethsemane when He prayed, and He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Not my own will. Not my own plan, not all the expectations that I have set up or I think that should happen, and let your will be done. And too often we become like the two sailors in the Black Sea. We end up with this boat, our boat's on the bottom with a lot of casualties in the bottom of the ocean because of our ridiculous pride, but it's still there intact, right? Jesus, once He humbled Himself, He ended up taking up a lot of casualties and giving them hope with His humility, making a powerful impact around the world. Jesus did that for us so that we could have hope, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could walk with Him, and so we could walk in newness of life, as the Scripture talks about, right? I have this question for you. Are your expectations worth the price of someone else's freedom? Never. Never. Jesus humbled Himself, and He gave all so that we could gain so much through him, eternal life. You know, I think it's fitting for us today to be able to say, Lord, I've got my agendas, I've got my thoughts, I've got my ideas, even got my hopes and dreams, but I'm willing to say, Lord, I put that in your hands so that I can follow your plan for my life. See, the problem is what happened when we don't do that. We think we've got everything going and it's going to go the best. It's not the best when it goes our way. It's the best when it goes his way. Because he has his plan for us is for good. It's not for evil. He has a plan for us. And so we need to be able to set our stuff aside and allow him to work in us and to do what he wants in our lives. So this morning, take that opportunity to say in your heart, God, here I am, as I am. I don't want to stay the same way I am. I want to grow in you. I want to follow your plan for my life. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you just put your hands on each and every person here under the sound of my voice, Lord. Those online with us, Father God, those in the room, Father God, I pray that you would help each of us as we offer ourselves back unto you, Lord God, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. Lord God, we offer ourselves up to you, Lord, as we are, and we also lay down all of our priorities, all of the things that we are expecting, and we put it in your hand and say, God, have your way in us, because we know your plan is for good in us. Father, we offer ourselves to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And Father, we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. God.